विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनीति नामने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पश्चात्सुतेसुतारिणे उमंगलम तिम्मरम दस्य गणांजना शलाकया चक्षुर्निरतं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. I'm offering my obeisances to my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was standing in the midst of darkest ignorance.
Please stop gossiping out there.
So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna describes his appearance.
Can we have some quiet, please?
Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmana srijamyaham puritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavani yuge yuge. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion. I myself appear millennium after millennium. So yuge yuge, in every yuga. You may know, those who are students of Vedic culture understand that there's a chronology by which there's a system of four yugas. So every yuga, Krishna comes. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwarpa Yuga, Kali Yuga. This cycle of yugas that's rotating, each yuga cycle, it's called a Divya Yuga, is lasting 4,320,000 years. Big time scale. We are here at the tail, we're at the beginning of Kali Yuga, which began about 5,000 years ago. So Krishna is supposed to appear, according to Shastra, just at the end of Dwarpar Yuga. So about 5,000 years ago, Krishna appeared. But I want to speak tonight a little bit about how Krishna is unique. Although the Lord descends in every yuga, yuge, yuge, actually Krishna himself comes only one time in a day of Brahma. In a day of Brahma, there's 1,000 yuga cycles. So 1,000 of these yuga cycles, Krishna comes. And every yuga cycle has four yugas in it. So actually, Krishna's appearance is rare. He only comes one time in a day of Brahma. Actually, we've got very precise information. Brahma's day is 4.32 billion years long. So in that Brahma's day, it's also divided into reigns of Manus. There are 14 Manus. And each Manu reigns for 71 Yuga cycles, or 71 Divya Yuga cycles. So we are at present in the reign of Vaivasvata Manu, who's the seventh Manu in the day of Brahma. So Krishna has appeared at the end of the Dwarpa Yuga. And so 27 Divya Yugas, previous Manus, has already passed. So this is the 28th. Divya Yuga. That means Brahma has been around, has been now 1,975,320,000 years have passed in this lifetime of Brahma before Krishna appeared. So he only comes once in this day of Brahma. So other times, some other form of Vishnu appears in the Dwarpa Yuga. But in that very special, once out of 1,000 Mahayuga cycles, of Divya Yuga cycles, Lord Krishna appears. So he's rare. So there's a special feature about Lord Krishna. So first of all, we should understand that we are all of us very fortunate to be appearing just a very short time after the appearance of Krishna himself. Now, many people think of Krishna as an incarnation of Vishnu, avatar of Vishnu. But actually, those of us who have studied the literature about Krishna very closely understand actually it's the other way around. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the authorized biography of the Lord, there's a text, Ete Chamsakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All different avatars have been listed in the second canto and in the first canto of Bhagavatam. There's a list of different incarnations or avatars, one after another. And then at the end of that list it says, Ete Chamsakala Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. All these different avatars are Kala and Amsha, means expansions or expansions of expansions. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, but Krishna is Bhagavan himself. Krishna is not avatar, but avatari. He is the source of all avatars. This is the statement of Srimad Bhagavatam. So there are certain features about Krishna that are quite special. So I want to describe that. Normally the Lord is Vishnu, or the Lord we know as Narayan, the Supreme Personality of God. Well, everyone knows God is great and all-powerful. So when we think of Vishnu or we think of Narayan, we think of God just like we have the expression in English, God Almighty. So he has so much power and so much majesty and so much might. He's so great. So this feature is called in Sanskrit Aishvarya. So whenever people come into contact with the Lord, they perceive his majesty and his might, and therefore they say, oh, God is very great and I am very small. And they bow down with great awe and reverence. They're conscious of the difference that I am so small and God is so great. Of course, this is a true perception. We are very, very tiny. And the Lord is the source of everything. So, but we should understand when we speak of the Lord, when we speak of God, we're speaking of an office. Just like we have President of the United States. And actually, whenever people see the President of the United States, they also feel some awe and reverence. And he's always surrounded by his Secret Service men and his aides and everything. And people, they say, oh, this is a very big man, as President of the United States. So similarly, even much bigger is the Lord. So therefore, in general, people are worshiping the Lord in awe and reverence. So the problem with this is is that the Lord is not completely satisfied. He wants to enjoy intimate relationships. If everybody is a little bit afraid of me, if everybody is saying, oh, you're very great, and I'm very small, and let me keep my distance, then how will the Lord enjoy intimate, loving exchanges? Because this is what the Lord aims at. He aims at love. So therefore, he also has this special feature, which is called Krishna. Krishna is God, is Narayan, is Vishnu, but the idea of Krishna is greater than the idea of God. Because as Krishna, the Lord discloses his private life. If we take the example of the President of the United States, so he is treated in a royal manner also because he has a big position, but sometimes he goes home and he has his friends and they don't call him Mr. President. They call him, what is it, Bill? But like that, there can be a person on the bench, like a judge in the high court. So while he's sitting on the bench, the judge of the high court with his black robes, or if they do in England, he's got his some wig on. Maybe they still do in England too, and India also, that is got his black robes and everything, and everyone says, Your Honor, if it please the court, and they treat him with respect. So then that same lawyer goes home, he takes off his robe, he takes off his wig, and then he goes home and he plays with his children, he rolls around on the rug playing with his children. His wife doesn't call him Your Honor. So he has his private life. And if he didn't have a private life, he would certainly feel himself unfulfilled. So when the Lord appears as Krishna, he discloses his private life. When he is manifest as Vishnu or as Narayan, that is his public life. That's when he's God. But when he doesn't want to be God, when he just wants to enjoy intimate and close relationships, then he is Krishna. So this is the special feature of Krishna. Because when the Lord descends as Krishna, once in a day of Brahma, once every 4.32 billion years, out of so many 1,000 yuga cycles, one of those yuga cycles he comes as Krishna, he shows his private life. So it is said that as Narayan, the Lord's Aishvarya, his majesty, overpowers his beauty or his sweetness. In Sanskrit, the word is madhurya. His Aishvarya, his majesty, his lordship, his greatness, overpowers his beauty and his sweetness, his madhurya. But as Krishna, the Lord's sweetness and beauty, his madhurya, completely defeats his Aishvarya. Therefore, Narayan in Vaikuntha lives in a big palace. He has millions and millions of servants. Everywhere you see, he's surrounded by opulence, majesty, wealth, and so on. Where does Krishna live? A small village. Rural. Not urban, but rural. A small village. And what does he do? Does he have his big armies and his hosts and everything? No. He tends cows. just like a village boy tending cows. Why does he do this? He does this because here in Vrindavan, this is his private life. Now, some people will not be impressed, huh? Some people will say, oh, here is Krishna, he is an ordinary, like a cowherd village boy, just tending the cows. We don't have that activity so much in America, but still you go to India, you'll see the boys with their sticks herding the cows. Just village boys. They don't have their degrees or anything. They're just farm people. So sometimes you won't be impressed when Krishna appears in that way. I'll tell you, some big people were not very impressed. Indra was not very impressed. Brahma was not very impressed. And they said, who is this little boy? All the inhabitants of Vrindavan were supposed to offer Indra yajna, and Krishna persuaded Nanda Maharaj, forget it. Instead, take all this offering and I want you to offer it to Govardhan Hill. So Indra said, who is this upstart cowherd boy telling people to stop this Indra yajna? Why? So he decided to challenge him. And he said, okay, you don't offer me, I'm going to bring this Samvartika cloud and pour water down on you. This is what you get for following this little boy. So of course, he was defeated by Krishna, because although he was just like a little cowherd boy, when necessary, he could lift up Govardhan Hill. And everybody came underneath this umbrella of Govardhan Hill, and he protected them. So they weren't very impressed. So this is one reason why Krishna does not reveal himself so easily. Because most people are a little envious of God, sometimes a lot envious of God. So he has to put on a big show. So he has to appear like a big man. Lots of special effects. So you know how important he is. If he doesn't appear in his forearm Narayan form, if he isn't surrounded by all his energies and entourage, if the palaces aren't there, if the airplanes aren't there, you won't be impressed. So people are envious of God, so he won't appear. As Krishna says, avajanatima mudha manusim tamun ashvita. Those who are fools, mudha. When I appear, manusim, like one of you, they deride me. But this is a danger. But still, he wants to show his sweetness. So this is his private life. Krishna in Vrindavan. This is the private life of God. So that's higher. People want to know what is the private life of the rich and famous. I think at one point there was a television series like that in America, the private life of the rich and famous. Well, just like you see right now in England, there's the royal family. So they perform all their royal functions, but everybody's really curious to know what is actually going on behind the walls of Buckingham Palace. So if you're a social climber and you want to get to know the highest people, like in this country you want to become to know the President of the United States. So it's one thing if you actually know him and you call him Mr. President, but the day comes when you can call him Bill, then you really made it. You're higher than those people that call him Mr. President. Just as if you can call the Queen of England Elizabeth or Betty or whatever instead of Your Majesty. So this is why Krishna is actually the highest manifestation. He puts aside all his trappings of royalty and majesty to enjoy intimate pastimes of love. So you can imagine how great are devotees like, say, Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj has become Krishna's father. Yasoda Mayi has become his mother. So here is Nanda Maharaj. What is his position? Here is Sri Krishna, the absolute truth, the ultimate source of everything, and he's crawling on all fours on his courtyard. He brings his father's shoes to him on his head. This is the position. Krishna's deriving more pleasure. Mother Yashoda chases him with a whipping stick. He's been naughty. And Krishna derives more pleasure out of the chastisement of Mother Yashoda. What have you done? You've stolen the butter. You're feeding it to the monkeys. You rascal. To Krishna, that's sweeter than all the Vedic hymns offered by all the sages in the higher planets, by all the rishis. He wants to be chaste because this is love. So he wants these intimate loving exchanges. Therefore, he appears as Krishna. His madhurya overpowers his aishvarya. And actually, it's been analyzed that there's four features of Krishna that you do not see in any other manifestation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His lila madhurya, his sweet pastimes, especially those pastimes of his childhood. In the West, everybody wants, they speak God the Father. Father means I take something from you. Give me my allowance, give me the car keys, give me this, give me that. So I'm demanding service. But with Krishna, the devotee becomes Krishna's parents. So they're serving him more. So therefore Krishna has his wonderful and sweet childhood pastimes where he appears as a little child and his devotee with the feelings of parents are worshipping him in ecstatic love like Yashoda Mayi. So this Lila Madhurya with Krishna is not available anywhere else. Another feature of Krishna is called Prema Madhurya. The intimate loving exchanges between Krishna and his devotees, especially those with the gopis. How much Krishna loves the gopis and how much the gopis love Krishna. There's no comparison anywhere in the world. Again, this is confidential. Is very confidential because Krishna's affairs with the gopis are not like ordinary, mundane love affairs between boys and girls in this world. It's called prema. It is love. What we see in the material world is a perverted reflection called lust. In Sanskrit, the word is kama. That is lust. Lust means the desire to use the other for my own enjoyment. But prema means the desire to serve the other, to satisfy the senses of the other without any desire for my own satisfaction. So this prema was exchanged between Krishna and the gopis. Between Krishna and the gopis, what we have are exchanges of love in spiritual bodies. This has nothing to do with this perverted reflection in the material world of the affairs between boys and girls here. So it is it's a confidential business, Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. This is called Prema Madhurya. Third feature, Venu Madhurya, Krishna's playing on his flute. Nowhere else do you see this, that Krishna's wonderful flute playing of such a nature that when he plays on his flute, the whole universe becomes stunned. You can't imagine the sound of Krishna's flute. So his flute playing charms everyone and everything. When he plays on his flute, the Jamuna River begins to flow backwards. And even inanimate, unmoving entities like the trees, they begin to shiver in ecstasy, and honey pours out of them because of the ecstasy of love of God, just because of the vibration of Krishna's flute. So Vena Madhurya. And finally, Rupa Madhurya, Krishna's extraordinarily beautiful form. You'll not see such a beautiful form anywhere as the form of Krishna. So Prabhupada's mission was to spread Krishna consciousness. When he came here, Prabhupada decided to call his society International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And some of his people said, well, you know, Krishna's a kind of foreign thing. Why don't we call it International Society for God Consciousness? He says, no, Krishna Consciousness. Because it's true, Krishna is God. But that God business is being carried out by his Vishnu expansion. As his Vishnu expansion, he's taking care of everything, all the God functions. Because Krishna means all attractive, you can take the word Krishna and derive it from the Sanskrit Krishdhatu, the verbal root Krish, which means to attract. So Krishna is all attractive. So people don't know this about the Supreme Lord. They think he's powerful. They think he's full of majesty and might. But that he's attractive, this they don't know. So therefore Krishna came 5,000 years ago. And especially he showed his Vrindavan pastimes. So we can see actually the private life of Krishna. And he's showing us this so especially we can, he's inviting us to take part in those pastimes. This is, what happens is, in that one Divya Yuga cycle that Krishna appears, in the end of Dwapara Yuga, every time that Krishna appears in Dwapara Yuga, in the Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya comes. Always. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna, who is coming to teach us. Krishna takes the role of his own devotee. Actually, as Chaitanya, his divinity is covered because Krishna appears as his own devotee and teaches us how to worship Krishna. So when Krishna came, he brought with him the storehouse of love of God, but it remained locked. And it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates who have distributed this. It is because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we can appreciate Krishna and understand Krishna. It's because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has given us the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, so that even though we are preeminently disqualified for this highest and most confidential knowledge. Still, by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, our hearts can become cleansed and we can actually enter into the association of Krishna himself. So Krishna is actually inviting us. It's said about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Predayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurutrishe Namaha. It says that Chaitanya is the most magnanimous avatar of Krishna because he is giving away this Krishna Prema. Otherwise, we couldn't get it. So here we are today. This is Sri Krishna Janmashtami. We are observing the appearance of Krishna. Of course, Krishna also had his pastimes outside of Dwarka, outside of Vrindavan. He went to Mathura, and then he went to Dwarka. But actually, these functions were being performed by his Narayan expansion. Krishna actually never leaves Vrindavan. He remains in Vrindavan and his Narayan expansion goes outside. Krishna never even kills the demons. That is being done by his Narayan or Vishnu forms. Because all those forms are within Krishna and they come out when it's necessary. Krishna himself only engages in pastimes of love. He has nothing to do with his demon-killing business. Anyway, it's a fact when Krishna says, whenever I come to Vinashaya Shaduskritam, I come to destroy the Duskritina. But actually, even he doesn't have to come to do that. For all the demons that have to be killed by Krishna, he doesn't have to personally do that anyway. He's controlling the material energy. Mayadjakshena Prakriti Suryate Sacharacharam. This Maya is working under my direction. This Prakriti is working under my direction. So any big demon Krishna can kill, he can just break a little blood vessel in their head and finished, or a little heart attack. He doesn't have to come and personally kill them. He didn't have to show up to kill as Hiranyakashipu. He didn't have to come as Nrisingadeva to kill Hiranyakashipu. He could have simply arranged for a stroke or a heart attack or something like that. So actually he comes and does this just so we can get some idea of what God is like. So really his real reason is for the pleasure of his devotees. We need to know something about the greatness of God, his wonderful activities. So he comes in so many different multi-incarnations. So we need to understand God. Therefore we have Srimad Bhagavatam. People have this idea of God and they have heard that God is great, but they don't know anything about him. If you read the Quran, they'll tell you God is great, but what do you know about God? Very little. You read the Bible, what do you know about God? Very little. But if you go to the Vedic literature, and especially to Srimad Bhagavatam, then we have so much information about the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What is Srimad Bhagavatam? It is the biography of Krishna. And not a complete biography, partial biography. If you want to know anything, Say you want to take some great man like Mahatma Gandhi. You'll find that the literature on Mahatma Gandhi, there are so many biographies. I'm sure if you go and you want to write your doctoral dissertation on Gandhi, you'll have to spend 2 or 3 years reading everything written about him. And he's just a small, insignificant person. So what about someone who's really great like Krishna? Therefore, we've got Srimad Bhagavatam, little sample biography of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we find out how he's working in so many forms, how he comes in different incarnations as Rama, as Nrisimha, as Vamana, as Kurma, as Matsya, as Balaram, so on and so on. So many times he's acting with his devotees, how he expands as Mahavishnu, as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Shirodakshayi Vishnu, how he's working as Super Soul, how he's running the universe, everything is there. And if you go through Bhagavatam, first 9 cantos we learn how great God is. So we can appreciate how God is great. Then the 10th canto is dedicated to Krishna. Now that you have appreciated how great Krishna is, now here is his private life. Now we understand that Krishna is God. Now we can see what he likes to do when he takes off his majesty and might, and when he plays in intimate relationships with his friends. The residents of Vrindavan, they love Krishna with all their hearts, but they don't care that he's God. He may be God or he may not be God, that's not important to them. The important thing is that he's Krishna. Actually, they don't like to understand that he's God. Yashoda Mayi, at one point, had heard that Krishna had misbehaved because he was naughty. Balaram came and told, he said, Krishna has eaten dirt. Because sometimes naughty boys do that, they go and they eat some clay. So she was a little worried, this dangerous thing to do, there's so many germs, you get sick. So she came to Krishna and says, is it true that you have eaten dirt? He said, I think you've eaten dirt. She said, open your mouth. Let me see. Open your mouth. She raised her hand. Krishna got a little frightened. So he opens his mouth. And she looks inside. And she saw Earth in his mouth. She saw all the planetary systems there.